Welcome to STEM Spots, a weekly science review produced in cooperation with the Missouri State University Department of Physics, Astronomy, and Materials Science.
Hi, this is Dave Cornelison, and you are listening to the web version of STEM Spots. With me in the studio is Chris Bryan, who's the plant manager for the Springfield, Missouri 3M plant. Thanks for stopping by, Chris.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
So, Chris, talk to us a little bit about 3M. I know the plant's here, but really, I've only lived here for 8 years, and I don't know very much about it.
So the 3M Springfield plant has been part of the community for about 52 years. We have approximately 450 employees. The site has grown about 30% over the last couple of years. So we're really experiencing a great time to be part of the community here.
And you make things. 3M's known for all sorts of things. What kinds of things do you do here? Is it the standard stuff people know 3M for, or is it other stuff?
Yeah, typically when we're recruiting or when we're talking in the community, most people think that 3M makes only tape and Post-its. But actually at the local plant, what we specialize in making are adhesives, coatings, fillers, and then coated materials for different industries.
For different industries, including even defense contracts, conceivably. Is that true?
Automotive, defense contracts, you name it. The cell phone that you have sitting on your table actually has a 3M component to it.
Okay, great. Now, when we think about 3M, we think about jobs that it provides, and of course, you think tech, you think that there's some high-tech jobs, but of course, you're also a plant, and you make things. And a lot of the high-tech stuff might go on up in Minneapolis or where, I think in Minnesota somewhere. But when you think about the things you're doing and advanced technology, which is the subject that we're really kind of chatting about, which is robotics, artificial intelligence, new kinds of technologies. In your case and the experience you have coming here from somewhere else in a different plant, a different 3M plant, how do you see 3M's case both locally and globally to incorporate new kinds of advanced technologies?
So 3M is from a corporate standpoint, really embracing the Industry 4.0 transition and from a corporation standpoint, we really have a number of different platforms. Some of them that are really important to us are robotics, digital automation, and of course automated workflow. The robotics piece is really integral to the manufacturing process. And reducing ergonomic risk, improving our costs, and really creating a much more positive work environment. The digital automation piece is really taking the information that we've always tried to use to make decisions from a manufacturing standpoint, automating that, whether we use historians on our equipment for speed, temperature, time, pressure, whatever, and presenting that to the engineer so that they're not spending days putting together spreadsheets and databases and they can make real-time decisions to improve the processes.
Now, when you said Industry 4.0, does that mean there's like a consortium of people that sat down and actually came up with the plan? Is that what that means?
So from a manufacturing and supply chain standpoint in the United States, and this is really global, a lot of people believe that the next step in the industrialization of, our manufacturing processes is this next Industry 4.0. There's been, a significant amount of discussion around it, and you look at the components to it, and it's really robotics. Digital automation is really the biggest component, probably, in how you speed up those decision-making processes and help move the decision making at a faster pace.
Okay. Now, one of the offshoots of this, or the outcomes, is going to be the possible change in the job environment. Now, we've talked about this, you and I, a little bit, and I've talked about this with other guests. And of course, one of the things that all corporations need in the U.S. is a robust workforce that can afford to buy the things that people make. And so you guys, if you're going to incorporate something new, something that could conceivably displace workers, or at least give them new things to do. How do you sort of plan that? What kind of a group comes together to think about that, and how do you get investment buy-in from all the people that can be affected by it?
Well, it's a fairly complex question, when you look at the cross-functional teams that it takes to address a problem like this, you have to incorporate, your management, your technical side, your human resources side, and how do all of those work together, not only from a corporate standpoint, but with each local community. We have some programs that we're using with our maintenance staff through Ozark Tech to provide improved electrical troubleshooting, and the state of Missouri, the city of Springfield has been a fantastic partner over the last several years in working with 3M Springfield and allowing us grants and other incentives so that we can continue to grow the site here. Again, as I said a moment ago, we've grown about 30% over the last year and a half, and we still have more growth to come. So it's extremely important to us that we're able to find those technical resources or those resources in an economy that's only 2.9 or 3% unemployment.
Right. So when you have this, let's say a particular idea. So you had some robotic cells, you call them, I think, down at the plant you worked in Atlanta, and you have less of that here. So let's say you want to implement something along those lines. Do you take a team of people and actually have, so you've got HR people, you've got people that might actually be from the workforce that would be working on these things and so forth. Do you take them someplace and show them what this looks like? How do you show them what the outcome can be? So that everybody gets an idea of a way forward. Is it goal oriented like that, to show them what's possible?
Yeah. So 3M has a really long standing culture of using cross functional teams to resolve problems, whether it's at the corporate level or at the plants. When you look at a typical cross-functional team here in Springfield, we have engineers, we have analysts, we have operators, and we have managers who are working together. In this particular case, I can use an example from Atlanta. We used all of those skill sets work with a local integrator to resolve a specific packaging function at the plant, and it turned out it was an ergonomic improvement, a productivity improvement, and so on and so forth. But you really have to look within the company and embrace the disruptive technologies, and then also look outside of the company at companies like Rockwell Automation, who are really bringing this digital revolution into the plant. It's not just robotics. It's how do we get the information? How do we make those decisions in real time and continue to push forward the manufacturing process with the best results?
Okay. Now, you said disruption. And, of course, many times people think of disruption as a negative word. So let's talk about the positive connotations of that. So when you're presenting to people, whether it's people in your own company that need maybe some retraining, or whether you're talking to somebody who's going to get a job, talking to somebody who's getting ready to go to college, talking to your own relatives or anything like that, how is it that you cast, and I'm on board with this, how is it that you cast, okay, the world is a-changing, and so here's one way you can move forward to take advantage of those changes?
So this issue is actually very close to me, because I have two daughters who are of that age. One's 22 and one's 15, and they are going to need to be successful out in the workforce. What they decide to do is obviously up to them, of course, with a little guidance from Dad. Doing the research, understanding what the programs and opportunities that are out there, Contacting your local technical schools and obviously universities like Missouri State and Rolla to understand the programs and what are those opportunities. If I spend 2 years or 4 years getting an education at a bachelor's degree level, you know, what is the opportunity when I come out? Is this something that I'm going to be able to use for the next 40 years until I retire, or is it something that I'm going to have to continually be retrained on? And, you know, what we're finding is that there is a huge appeal for a lot of the technical programs, whether we're talking about it at the Ozark Tech and Trade School level, people who are doing programming and maintenance, or at the engineering level through the local universities. There are just a tremendous number of opportunities and well-paid opportunities down all avenues of the STEM-related trades.
Sure. Okay. Well, that's great. So, just out of curiosity, if you talked about to me this robot cell stuff, so I'm interested in what that means. So, can you talk about the implementation of a robot cell? Is that like one robot? Is it multiple robots? And do they have a specific task? Can you give an example of anything that comes to mind?
Yeah, a couple of them that we had installed in the plant that I just moved from. One of them was we had a very manual process of placing cans as they came in from other locations or came in from the vendor to label them for product. So we installed a robot to depal and palletize that within a work cell. The other one that we installed was actually a kitting operation. We filled the product and then it went down the line and you added different components onto the can, the top of the can, the lid, a dome, that kind of thing. And in both cases, we worked with a very good integrator in the Atlanta area to identify the problem, to kind of work with the team in that plant from a cross-functional standpoint, and to make sure that the integrator was addressing those issues. When we look at 3M and disruptive technology, we have over 700 different robot cells in the company, but each one of them is providing a very specific solution to the manufacturing process.
And so when you talk about working with partners, so you guys have disruptive technology. You also told me a little bit about the fact that you really encouraged the company, especially at the research division. They're doing, let's call it, they're given a reasonable amount of leeway to do things as long as they're targeted towards the general needs of 3M. But on the automation side, are you doing things in-house or are they mostly that you're going to partners like this Rockwell or whatever, where they're giving you the expertise you need to do what you need to do?
Well, it's really all of the above.
Okay.
So if we have a specific problem, whether it's robotics or digital automation or inline compounding, whatever, we may not have all of the experts that are in-house. So we rely on not only the disruptive technology group in St. Paul to provide us with resources, but also our own engineers in the plant do a fantastic job of reaching out to vendors, integrators, to understand the best solution for our plant. Because really, there are no 3M plants that are identical to each other. So the solutions have to be kind of a joint venture between local, corporate, and external SMEs or subject matter experts.
Now, when you talk about that with plants, you and I discussed a little bit, and I'm not probing too much, but I'm interested. So every plant, the corporation has a culture. It sounds like a very innovative culture, disruption you've mentioned. And so plants have personalities. Is that true? And so what works in one plant to convince people to get on board for various projects, is that easily transferable to another place, or do you have to spend a lot of time getting the lay of the land and figuring out how to best implement new things? I'm just curious.
No, I think a lot of the technologies are transferable, but making sure that the local teams are bought into the solutions, not one size fits all. So making sure that the local teams are approve and, they've had an opportunity to understand how that solution fits their needs at the plant. It's important because you can't just take one piece of technology and replicate it across the board. There are always instances where, especially with Springfield, where we do a lot of adhesives and coatings, our applications may be very slightly different from a tape plant or, another coater plant.
Now, you've been 7 months here, is that right?
I've been here 7 months.
So is that enough time for you to really feel like you kind of have got things sort of figured out, or does it take a little bit longer than that even?
That's probably a matter of opinion from people at the plant. But lots of things are going very well. It's a great facility with a lot of really wonderful people from Southwest Missouri. We've had a number of different people come to the plant, from local congressmen to, Chamber of Commerce. And, they're really very open to doing business here in Southwest Missouri. And it's a very different environment, say, from the Atlanta market where I moved from, where you're not the big dog in town, so to speak. It's Delta Airlines, Home Depot, Georgia Pacific, whereas here in Springfield, we're a major employer. We have about 450 employees, and it's been very very welcoming, very accommodating, and what can we do for you to help you.
Great. No, that's great. Well, Chris, I think we've covered a lot of this. Of course, we could go on and on and on about robotics and some of my crazy ideas, but we won't do that right now. And so I thank you very much for stopping by.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you having me.
Once again, this is Dave Kornielsen for STEM Spots, signing off.
STEM Spots is available online at ksmu.org.